coffee.
Actually, mine is not white. Chewing on beans or anything.
Whoa, yeah, that's a lot of sugar. Are we live?
We've been recording.
That's what makes it delicious.
All right, hello everyone, and welcome to the Solutions Brewing Podcast. This is again one of our rare all in person recordings. So yeah. I am Steven, joined by Rob and Brendan, and the noises you just heard is us trying a new drink we saw at the Edmonton Beer Fest, Shaft. Which is basically cold brew in a can.
It says right here on the
with
can.
With vodka.
It goes.
With vodka.
Alcoholic yeah. Espresso beverage.
Yeah.
And it's not a little bit, too. It's 6.9.
Yeah. Holy crap. Yeah. So there's two shots of espresso in this can. It's almost 7%, and holy crap, is it sweet.
That's delicious, because I don't like coffee, but you know what? I like that one.
It's too sweet.
Yeah.
Need to mix it with an actual coffee, then it might be all right. Throw another shot of espresso in there.
And yeah, the reason why we're doing it is we did lots of tradesies at the shows. So we're doing our usual splitsies after we do the tradesies, a couple weeks later. But we're going to be trying some interesting beers today that we kind of picked up at the show. And I chose this one to start because... I am dead tired. I am my son got me up early and I am just exhausted. So Rob was like, you should have a Shaft. And now I'm going to get wired.
So you're welcome, Steve.
If you hear any static or anything on the recording, it's actually just Steve literally buzzing.
It's just buzzing. Yeah, he's just literally vibrating it.
All right. So this is pretty potent. Like this is, again, two shots of espresso, a bunch of alcohol. It's nitro too. Okay. Yeah, it's smooth.
Oh, that would make sense. I didn't know it did have a little bit of a creamy feel to it.
Yeah, creamy. But it literally says to enjoy the original Shaft experience, pour an ice and top with your choice of milk, which Brendan does not have moo juice at his house right now. So I elected not to do that. You just have almond milk.
Yes, we have almond milk. That's all we have. But
how do you milk an almond, Brendan? How do you do that?
With great difficulty, because they're small.
Very tiny teats on those.
Yeah, I remember the Meet the Fockers where they're milking the cat. It's kind of like that.
Or the Simpsons episode where they're milking the rats.
Oh, yeah.
You promised dog or better.
Dog or better.
Plenty of milk. Plenty of vitamin R.
Since we've opened this... Rob, why don't you grab a beer from our selection here, and let's try it out.
Sure. So we've got a whole flat here. We're not going to try all of them.
No.
Go on
for 5 hours.
Today's episode is 27 hours long.
It's 5 hours of talking, and then us passed out for another.
Oh, you know what? We could keep with the thing. Apparently, here we go. There's a Russell Lifeline European Espresso Stout.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. We're just going to have three coffee beers, aren't we?
I just grabbed one. I didn't know it was an espresso stout. This is like Beer Hunter. This is literally a mixed case.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You guys don't want to do that one? We can do something.
No. You picked it.
We picked it. So Russell Brewing, that is out of BC?
Correct. What's it say where they are? I always forget where some of these places are from. There's so many breweries, it's hard to keep track of.
Surrey.
They're in Surrey?
Surrey.
Yep.
Yeah, they are. Yep. Yeah. Surrey. Okay, cool.
They were a long way from home then if they were all the way up in Edmonton.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of the theme, is that you never see the Edmonton breweries at the Edmonton show.
Even Edmontonians complain about that. They're like,
I was going to look up.
I mean, there were a couple. Like, I did recognize Omen. Manual Labor was there.
Yeah. You know?
So, I mean, there are some. I can't remember who else was out there.
But there's some other, like, big breweries there that just don't bother, I guess, or don't seem to.
Oh, I guess, maybe they just, some brews probably just feel like it's not worth their time to do it. Or maybe they just can't. Like, they don't have people that they can send up or whatever. But,
yeah. Well, because, like, I can't remember if I mentioned this on the podcast, like when we were talking about the Edmonton show, but I saw the next day, because we went out to breakfast with the people we were staying with, Barry and Katie. There was a brewery that I'd never heard of and never seen a single can at all. and it was called Long Roof Brewing. And
yeah, that one's right in Edmonton. That's like right on their
99th
Ave. What they call the Brewery Lane or whatever they call it. Yeah.
And that was the thing is that like I have never seen them. And then unfortunately we're in the morning there, so they weren't open yet on a Sunday. But I was just like, I have never seen you guys or heard you guys or tasted you guys. And they're just like, why aren't you at the Edmonton show? But
did they say what Edmonton show?
If someone was there willing to, there was a brewer there who was walking in the back. I didn't bang in the glass anything like a creep, just being like, let me in. I need some beer.
Let me try it. I haven't heard of you guys yet. Why weren't you at the Edmonton show? We could have done tradesies.
Apparently, Steve, they used a Saison yeast for this.
Ooh. So
you might be interested in that.
You can kind of smell it, actually. Like
a little bit of that farmhousey. Yeah.
Someone does have real coffee in there, so I guess they used a local coffee artisan called Grounds for Divorce.
Okay.
That's a pretty clever.
That's a solid name.
There's got to be a story behind that one. Like,
it doesn't say, but I mean, like, that's just the coffee place it came from. So I might have to look that one up just to figure out what's going on there. Grounds for Divorce. My word. If you want to look at
that, I'm going to look at the can.
Yeah, it's branded all over the can, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they must, looks like a collab.
Yeah. Lifeline European Espresso Stout.
Interesting to do a collab with a coffee shop.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also a little bit of lactose in it, too.
It's smooth.
Yeah.
You can feel it on your tongue.
Silky.
Yeah, there we go. That's the.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's solid.
It's pretty good. This wouldn't be a bad one for some day like today because there's a bunch of snow, but the sun is out.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be kind of like sitting outside watching the snow melt.
It's a great Sunday morning beer.
Yes. Yeah.
Pretty tasty. Good job, Russell.
Yeah. I've had a few of their beers before, but yeah, I didn't know they were at the Edmonton show. But then again, like when we walked around, we weren't paying too much attention.
I think they kind of had a hiatus for a while. Like they used to come out for shows and then they stopped for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they must be starting to come out again.
Yeah, get their presence out there again. So, yeah. Oh, tasty beer.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go right back to the shaft and just get like shot by how sweet it is.
He's doubling down on those caffeine beers now.
All right. Do we have another coffee beer here? Red ale? No. Belgian strong. That'll knock him out. spicy margarita? No. Here we are, Christmas cookie.
That one's called Christmas cookie?
Yeah.
That's one of the ciders.
Christmas cookie cider. Well, that's got to be full of ginger or something.
It must be. I actually did pick out a beer from Camrose. Before.
True North Cider and Camrose. It's
that one actually is a collab with Bent Stick Brewing. Or is that...
Which one? Yeah, that would be a collab with Bent Stick.
Passion Fruit Hop Cider. We've teamed up with, Ben Stick. Interesting.
It's got their logo on it. It'd be pretty.
I think this one is the one you're actually looking at.
No. The one I wanted to try is actually, I pulled it out. It's on the island there.
The Arrakis.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Arrakis.
Which I pulled it out and I said, I'm probably going to hate this, but I have to try it. Be in honor of Dune coming out again. And I appreciate them putting out a Dune themed.
Oh, yeah, you're going to hate this.
Yeah, this is a Doom-themed beer. This is from Zero Issue.
Yeah.
Dark, sour, with cinnamon and blueberry.
The artwork is amazing. You got Muad'Dib there with the...
Yeah, he's holding it up.
Knife over his head and all
the,
that.
The Freeman in the back. And yeah, it looks great.
But it is a dark sour with cinnamon and blueberry. So, I mean... The tie-in to the mythos of Dune and all that sort of stuff is great.
Yeah, it's got the spice.
I'm hoping
that's
this
right,
is...
You know, that's funny, I didn't clue into that one right away. Now that you say,
the cinnamon, but then blueberry as well, because the blue eyes and all that sort of stuff that you get with the spice. You know what?
That's clever, then. Yeah, that's a pretty clever recipe design.
Well, that's why I pulled it out, because I really appreciate just the source material knowledge that's displayed in the title of the beer.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll make me see the future. We'll find out here shortly.
I'm gonna say
I have to do a glass rinse before we.
Yeah, with the the espresso in there. Yeah, we'll do a glass rinse. I was gonna say I haven't had a dark sour since I think it was high level or High River, one of the not in Calgary but one of the surrounding Calgary ones. They had it was called Swamp Thing. It was a dark sour, and it was, again, after one of these shows or something like that. We had
we did that at one of our other live tastings.
Yeah, and I remember it was just like, no. Because it was sweet and sour, it was malty and sour, and it just did not work. It was two competing ideas, and instead of blending together and meshing
cohesive thought with it.
Yeah, it was just we threw some dark malt in with our sour for no reason.
No reason.
But 948 had a dark sour as well.
And I keep forgetting the term for what we did at Prairie Dog there.
The vertical tasting.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't quite. It was like a sour. The Brett yeast is kind of a sour yeast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's sour and funky
at first. You get the barnyard. They kind
of. That was a nice dark, fruity beer because of the yeast kind of thing, right?
So mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not a big sour guy, but that was good.
Yeah.
But it also wasn't a sour, so maybe that's why I liked it.
Yeah, yeah, because there's that. Because lactobacillus is more more of a pungent sour.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer you let a kettle sour or whatever, that's the sourer it gets. Whereas the Brett's got more of the funky odors and flavors, and then that's where you get more of the must or the smell that really changes it. So,
and also benefits a lot more from the time.
Yes,
just sitting there, right? The vertical we did was 1 year, 2 year, 3 year,
mm-hmm.
where. Yeah. Any of the other sours, you're not talking about years in the kettle.
years in the barrel versus days in the kettle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, really quick and dirty. But, all right, I'm going to give me these. I'll give them a quick wash.
Thank you, Steve. Let's see if we can. You guys will probably hear all the. We're all just going to watch Steve rinse glasses over there.
Yeah. So if you're at home listening to this, it's now is a good time to rinse your glasses too, because I assume you're drinking along with us.
Come on, Steve.
Hurry up.
All right. Jeez, guys.
Going for the Arrakis this time.
It's certainly dark.
It's got quite the dark color. It's like the bubbles almost look blue.
All right. Ooh, right away, the smell off of it. Trying to stretch.
Got my left arm on the wrong side of the mic while I'm pouring that to hand it over to Brendan.
Oh yeah, you can smell the spice.
Yeah,
can you? Oh wow, yeah, there's lots of cinnamon in there. You can definitely label that with some cinnamon. Woo. They don't.
Woo.
Other than in the name, you can't see. There's no ingredients on this can.
Hmm.
Oh, I like that.
I actually don't mind it.
Is that it's got a fairly strong sour? Mm-hmm. That first hit is very.
I was gonna say the blueberry and the cinnamon knocks the sourness that tartness down.
It helps it finish better.
It finishes well.
That's what I find with a lot of the sours is that they become cloying. They just stick too long.
Oh, and see, I like that sour bite. I like it when it can, if it's enough that it kind of, you get the little
ear tinge or
the little jaw clench or whatever in the back, up by the yard of your ear.
Yeah, that's the sour candies that you're trying to get that in your beer. But this is, I find it a lot more balanced than I was expecting it to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, it starts off.
The aroma is amazing. It's it smells almost like a pie.
Yeah.
No, it kind of makes me want to add cinnamon to a blueberry pie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Because I would never have thought of that before, but.
I'm now going to ask somebody to make me pie.
Blueberries aren't in season.
Like,
Andy,
wait, can wait you a make couple me a pie?
Yeah. Yeah. And put cinnamon in it.
Yeah. Good dose of cinnamon.
And then, well, what you have to do then is you have to go and watch Dune while eating the pie.
Yeah, I should. Yeah, that's right. The whole pie.
Yeah. It's a long movie.
Yeah, you get 3 hours to eat a whole pie. It's good. Yeah.
Or what you could do is, like, if you want a little bit more time, just rewatch the first part and marathon it with the second part.
Yeah, you could do...
Well, you could do that. Then you get 6 hours.
And then you get 6 hours, and 6 hours is enough.
No. Pie. You do the 1980s version, so you do that hot mess, then part one, and then go into part two, and that gives you 9 hours to then eat the pie.
Just skip the old
Patrick
one.
Stewart. Why is Patrick Stewart here?
And then he's gone for 2/3 of the movie, and then he shows up at the end for, like, another 20 minutes.
Well, like, but to be fair, that's what the character does in the book, too. True. But it's just one of those, like, this is the most unnecessary use of Patrick Stewart that I've ever seen. And then where they walk in, the first scene where you see him, it's all three of them, and I forget their names because I don't know the source material that well, but there's three characters. There's Duncan Idaho, Gurney Halleck, and somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they all walk up, and in the movie, they're all carrying something, which is like their totem.
Yeah.
Because they're described at some point, not in this scene in the book, but at some point in the book, they have it. And Patrick Stewart's like a mandolin or something like that he has. And you're like, oh, that's him because he has the mandolin. Instead of like anything else that would have exemplified the character.
But that's actually, it's funny because we look back at it now and it's like, oh my God, it's Patrick Stewart. Like, he's been in everything. He's, you know, again, Captain Picard. He's
this was well before the Picard.
And that's the thing. Sure. It's way before. So all he was at the time, he was part of the Royal Shakespeare Company. He'd only done really stage stuff.
He was a thespian.
He was a thespian, and he'd done some small roles in movies. And so this was like, again, quote unquote, a big movie for, again, 1985.
Like, I don't know. I saw it one time, and then it.
Yeah, like
it was okay, and then I was like, it's gone.
It's not a great movie.
All I know is it was before I was born, and I was 87. So, yeah. But you see him, you're like, what the hell? It's like if you've ever seen.
It's funny that you remember that from them. You know what I remember that movie? What? I was like, I hope they paid this one actress a lot of money because in the book they have the one where it's like it's right at the start,
mm-hmm.
and it's like where the guy like spits. On the person,
oh, they're
on
the table,
and they did that in the movie. I was like, "Oh, that's so gross!"
it's the gift of water. It tells him that he, you know, gives him respect, and is, that's how he shows it.
Oh, and I was like, "Oh."
What it reminds me too of, like,
I hope they only had to film that once.
All right, now we need another 20 takes for coverage.
Oh my god!
There's an old terrible movie called. Have you guys watched the movie Crawl?
Nope.
No.
Okay, so
Crawl. Don't know that one.
So Crawl is a movie that it was supposed to be the first Dungeons & Dragons movie, is what it actually was supposed to be, but they lost the rights to it while it was in production. So everything became, instead of D&D, became like Space Fortress and Space Horse and all this kind of stuff. But one of the actors in it, it was literally, I think his first or second acting role, was Liam Neeson. So
Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson. Yeah. So like future Qui-Gon Jinn, you know, Taken guy, like just complete and consummate badass. He plays like lackey number 4 or something in this troop or whatever. So he has a couple lines and he's got like a couple fight scenes, but he dies tragically in a swamp somewhere.
He keeps trying to do more, but then the director's like, no, you're not cut out for that. And he says, I have a very special set of skills.
Well, those came later. He was still training.
Yeah, he was still training. But it's just like, it's a legitimately terrible movie, but it's got him in it. And he's like, oh yeah, it's part of his early works.
So. I'm kind of wondering if this is where Star Wars got the idea for the space horses now.
Space horses.
Oh, space horses on a spaceship.
Yeah. There was this.
What's the worst way to attack this ship? I know, horses.
Turn off the magnetism, the vehicles fall right off. Well, they're not using vehicles, sir. And what are they using? Space horses on a spaceship. And that is when I have seen seven of the Star Wars movies in theater. One was like a re-release. I think I saw Empire Strikes Back in theater. It was one of the very releases. But I've seen all the prequels and all the sequels. And that, space horses on a spaceship, made me literally hand palm myself, like hand to face. because it was so dumb.
It was.
Fuck you, Rise of Skywalker.
It was very dumb.
I haven't even watched those movies. I just feel like they've been overdone now.
The new sequel had some really ideas if they were willing to commit to them, but they didn't. And as a result, like, it was like Star Wars by committee. And yeah. as a result, they made some really dumb decisions.
I knew it was going to be bad once Disney bought it. Not because Disney bought it, but because of how much they spent on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, they're going to have to milk this for everything it's worth. And that's what they've been doing. You know, movies, cartoons...
Oh, they just announced another new series for Disney Plus, actually, The Acolyte, which it's apparently taking place before the movies, like from before like Skywalker, before Palpatine's, all that kind of stuff. Right. And it's basically during the High Republic, so it's 100, 150 years before.
Back when there were more than two Jedi families.
Yeah, so this would have been before, I think the last good one I saw that I didn't mind was Andor.
Yeah, before Andor.
This is before Andor.
Well, before Andor, yeah.
So, and it's basically like, from the trailer, is basically like, there's Jedi going around and they start sensing like a disturbance with the, like they're at a youngling training session. It's like, what do you feel? And it's like, I feel like life and I feel like goodwill. And the other person's like, I feel fire. And it's, and there's basically a Sith that's hunting down Jedi on Coruscant. So it looks to be very interesting. Mm. But... it was just a trailer, so who knows?
I mean, you kind of got to treat the Star Wars universe now as more like you would have treated the book universe 15 years ago.
Mm.
There's all kinds of stuff out there. You really got to sort the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah.
Andor was good. Rogue One was good.
Yeah, and then like The Mandalorian is...
Solo was terrible.
Solo was okay.
No, Solo was terrible. Solo would have been much better
mm-hmm.
if they had just committed to the girl there being Mara Jade.
Yeah,
if they had turned Solo into actually an origin story for Mara Jade, mm-hmm. it would have been a much better movie.
Yeah, So if you took Solo out of the Solo movie and made it like a more of like just a space heist movie, would have been way better.
Well, and
but tying it into the mythos,
tying into Mara Jade, and then like actually exploring Mara Jade more because mm-hmm. I think the movies would benefit from that, and then going back to. You could actually tie it back into Skywalker because the whole Mara Jade Skywalker thing connects. And you bring in a different actor to play Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I like Mark Hamill, but he doesn't have to be the only person who ever plays Luke.
that's a problem with being a young actor and getting yourself like married to that. And like, it's like, because what is he now? Like in his late 60s, early 70s? And it's like, no, sorry, we're dragging you out of retirement. You need to play Luke Skywalker one more time.
Killed him off though, so that's fine. But he does a bunch of voice work as well. He's had an entire.
Oh, I think his voice work has been really good.
His voice work.
He's done the Joker for a long time.
But his voice work portfolio is massive. Like the amount of roles he's done is huge. So. Anyways,
you guys been going on about Star Wars.
That's our sci-fi tangent.
I'm just excited for these some of the Disney patents that have come. I got excited because some of the Disney patents are
expiring.
Gone. Yeah. Yes. So like, there's like the Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh, and I found out there's a Winnie the Pooh called
Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey. So it's a horror show.
Yeah.
Now I haven't seen this yet, but I'm going to watch this. I'm actually excited for this. Just a murderous Winnie the Pooh. And Piglet.
Yeah. And Mickey Mouse came up as well, right?
But specifically the Steamboat Willie Mickey the Mouse, not the rest of the Mickey Mouse.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's specifically that one because the later iterations are considered separate characters.
Interesting. I wonder how they pulled that off.
Disney lawyers are paid very, very well.
Probably, yeah.
I imagine.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, in January there was that big hubbub and it was specifically the Steamboat because that one was a unique instance of the character and wasn't part of his like later iterations. So
that just means the patent's up a little bit later then.
Yeah, no, again, the rest of them are going to get sunsetted in the future, but that's just how it goes.
You know, people are already writing screenplays in preparation for that.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
I mean, but you know, what's crazy about it is that these patents are good for 100 years.
Yeah.
So the fact that we're even talking about this is because these characters have been around for 100 years. Like, that's insane.
Because usually copyright was originally like 60 years, and then they made it 75, and then Disney lobbied, like, the last, you know, in the U.S. at least, last little bit to keep on extending it because they're we want to, you know, protect our intellectual property. And so they managed to get successive governments, I think twice in the US, to like extend another 10 years and another 20. But then at this point, it's like, nope. You've had like the patent for like 125 times. Yeah.
No. Well, I was just gonna say, because I thought Winnie the Pooh was World War One Canadian guy.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that one's specifically because that's a Canadian one, and though it's a slightly different patent law there.
Yeah,
but the same sort of thing. That patent law got extended
by about 10 years or so. Yeah. It seems like, because again, it was in the last year or so the patent got released.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's, yeah, because Winnie the Pooh was like years. Was like 1922 or 1924 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was during the war.
No,
patent or, was 1418. Like the patent might have been later, but I thought the character creation was
maybe.
I should remember this. This is a moment in Canadian history that was televised.
It is. No, like they came up with the idea of it, yeah. But like the patent is from.
Like you got to go look up the Heritage Minute.
I do have to look up the Heritage Minute. I just remember that logo, Winnie the Pooh. Oh, why that is, I don't know. It's just Winnie the Pooh.
I remember that. It was in the commercial.
Yeah.
You used to have that. Yeah.
A part of our heritage.
That's right. Yeah.
Which I hope they're still putting out, but I don't watch any TV.
They're much less frequent nowadays. I don't watch TV
anymore either. Like, they used to show them during hockey games, I remember.
I wonder if they just have them like on CBC Gem or something like that.
Yes. They're on Gem and they're on YouTube. So you can basically look them up anytime.
Well, I know I can look them up, but I mean, like, if you're making new ones, the whole point is that they're
again. I think they're on both. Yeah. Yeah, they make a little bit of ad revenue on either one sort of thing.
I wouldn't know. So, Steve,
all right,
it's your turn to pick one.
All right. So
and while you're doing that, I'll take care of the glasses. So we'll try to be a little bit more efficient this time. We're learning. No problems, just solutions, folks.
So. Well, the one I'm going to choose is a new brewery that was out of Wainwright called Moonlight Bay.
They actually approached us in Jasper a year ago.
Yeah.
And they were asking how to get into the festivals and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And we were trying to remember back how we got into them originally. We were like, we'll just send you the invite when we get it. So
yeah.
So I'm happy they made it to Edmonton.
Yeah, and it was really good to see him. He's, you know, brewing out of Blindman Brewing, out of, no, that's fine, yes. Out of Lacombe. So he's got a good brewery making his beers and everything. And, we're happy to see him there. And this beer is, well, you haven't had this one yet, Brennan, but this is a very good beer.
So this one's literally called Brown Ale.
Yeah.
They don't actually have names for their beers. They just call them the styles that they make.
Yeah.
Their labels are very simple. They change the color to match the color of the beer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Well, that's how we started.
This one's not actually gray. But this one just says beer. So, it's a pale ale.
Yep, okay. There
you go. You know, that, like, again, when we started with our designs, that's same thing we did. Like, you know, white background, fairly simple, and then just, you know, color band to indicate what beer it was.
So it's very simple, except for he's got this little Gosling, which is very detailed. And whoever did the artwork for that that's great. Like, I like the actual hidden touch of detail.
Yeah, that makes me wonder if that's a Wainwright thing, because that's on the brown ale, too. So that looks like it's on all their
It's tins. On every label, yeah. Hmm. That's nice brown.
Yeah.
It was really good. When I was there, I was like, man, I need to get some more of these. They almost ran out of them.
Wow. That's a good showing for your
like,
first.
Yeah, when we were doing, when show. I went to go, like, they were one of the first ones I went to ask for trades. They're like, we've only got these four left. I'm like, sold.
Bring them here.
The only thing I would change, and this might be controversial, is I would take the carbonation down one step.
So more like a British brown, like just lower, just
yeah,
lower
yeah, crown. getting a little more to the British brown, not as low as we did the Black Swan that one time,
mm-hmm.
But just a little bit less than this, because this is at the same carbonation level that we have all the rest of our beers.
Yeah,
and I think the browns benefit from a slightly lower carb. So instead of like a little bit more of that malt flavor through.
So instead of like 2.5 pound or 2.5 atmospheres or whatever of CO2, you did do like two.
Yeah, I hate talking in the
grams per hawk's wings.
No, so in our system, we carve everything at 16 pounds. I do this one at 15.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I would do it.
But yeah, it's like an easy drinking brown ale.
It is smooth. It is very smooth. Delicious. It has a great flavor profile.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, really like it.
So no, they had a great showing at the festival, and they were
awesome.
They were really positioned well because on that where they were at the end of the you know, there's that exit at the south end of the hall there. So there is the ticket sales right across from them. So super easy, just like ticket sales. Take a look at us right here.
That's how you deal with that. I'd love to, but I have no tickets. Well, there you go. I'll walk you over there.
I'm out of money. Well, I can't help with that. There was an ATM there, though, so you could actually get money out of the ATM.
We should just bring an ATM.
As long as we charge the lowest fees, we'd be so busy.
Oh, man. These are side revenue streams for Solutions Brewing.
It's
a side hustle for ourselves.
Yeah.
Is that a quad hustle?
This is really just a statement on the economy right now. When your side hustle needs a side hustle.
Are you awake and you're not making money? You should be making money, and here's how.
Are you still sleeping? Anyway, sorry, they were positioned very well.
Yeah, they were positioned very well at the end there. And then, yeah, like they, the few times we went over, like when we were talking with the Jason from On Beer there, we sent him over and he came back just for like a quick talk later. It's like, oh, did you get over and talk to them? He's like, yeah, but they were super busy. So like, that was perfect. So
good problem to have.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, they had a good show.
Hopefully they prepaid for next year's show.
I hope so too.
Hopefully I can attend next year's show.
Very suspicious, Brendan. Very suspicious. Oh, Edmonton. Oh, I don't know if I can make it.
Family vacations come first, man.
You can vacation in Edmonton.
We actually did. Like, if you'll recall, we did that a couple of years ago.
Did you?
It was almost the same circumstances. We were in Invermere for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we drove from Invermere to Edmonton.
Mm.
And we did the Edmonton show and then drove home. And I just didn't want to do that again.
No, Invermere is a much nicer place than Edmonton for vacation.
Yeah.
And in general.
In general, yeah.
But no, it's great beer. And
excellent. Yeah. Well, we've done our three. Should we drink the rest of the 24 here without our audience?
Probably.
We should do one more. Like let's
see, like doing 24 any... like at the end of the show, just go and then as ever we pass out and hit just smack it.
I mean,
like,
if you think about it, it's really only 8 beers each.
And then it's like how long do the batteries last? It's just that much dead air.
Yeah.
All right, we could pick one more, Steve, if you want to.
I don't know, I've been looking at this Hop Town one.
Hop rate infringement?
Oh, yeah. Which is out of Okotoks, which I didn't
know about Hop Town and Okotoks.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Yeah.
They've been around for a while. I think they were the first one.
Yeah. I think well, the first it says one, 2015 on the can, yeah. Which
they were the first one, and then
cuz they have
Big,
another
Big Beaver Brewing or whatever is the other one
Big
in
Beaver,
there.
Yeah.
Big Beaver, okay. I mean, if we're being honest, Big Rock is the first one out of Okotoks.
Yes. but no one remembers that.
No, but if you want to find the Big Rock, you go to Okotoks.
Yeah. That's where they used to have their outdoor festival was at the Big Rock.
The Big Rock. Big Rock's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. But you know, see what else is in here. Like the Sawback. Oh, yeah, we know Sawback.
There's we know
that.
So this is a Christmas cookie cider.
Christmas cookie cider. We can switch it up entirely. But I feel like that's already...
I'm going to say, speaking of Big Rock, we could do the tree brewing.
Had one of those before you came, actually. They're pretty good.
Okay. We had that one, yeah.
Yeah, the evergreen?
The pale.
The pale, yeah.
Okay, what else have we got? And then...
Steve was late, so another we had a beer before we got here.
No, yeah. let's do the Belgian Strong and see if we can knock Steve out.
8.5.
Well, that shaft might be keeping him awake.
I'm still running off the shaft, boys. I keep on taking a sip of it, like, between, I'll drink a bit, like, the little bit of the brown and then go back to the shaft.
Steve,
and it's like,
Steve just really destroys his palate every time.
Yeah.
Could also go, I mean, we could really mess with it. I'm like, okay, so we've been drinking the darker one. You could go a lighter one. Go with a craft lager.
Yeah.
Called Gig Beer from Sawback.
I like Sawback. They're cool guys.
They're cool guys, they and they cool make good beer.
Yeah.
Out of Red Deer.
I remember there was the one Edmonton show where we were poorly positioned, both us and Sawback, and there was nobody there, and I was like, guys, I'm just going to go hang out at Sawback.
Yeah, we were just chatting and exchanging samples with them the whole time. Yeah, that was kind of funny. Them and Grain Bin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because Grain Bin was in the corner there.
When we were in the corner.
I was actually sad that they weren't at the Edmonton show this year.
Grain Bin wasn't there.
Grain Bin wasn't there.
Too bad.
So, yeah, who knows if, like, you know, they just were like, we're not going to go, or, you know, they just, you know, physically can't drive
to come from there.
It's friggin' Grand Prairie. Like, yeah.
Other side of the province.
Other side of the province, because when he did, I'm trying to remember, when he was down in Calgary last, I think it was, he, like, was packaging the night before, got like 3 hours of sleep, then like got on the road and came down to Calgary.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
And was just like toast. Like he was just exhausted. So maybe he thought about that and was like, maybe we won't do that again.
They must have that Grand Prairie market cornered by now.
I think so.
I think, well, they're the only ones out there.
Yeah, because
there used to be a second one.
Mad Hatter's closed down, so.
Yeah, because
which was GP Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, like they've got the whole Northeast market, Northwest market.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I was up in Grand Prairie back in November for work,
mm-hmm.
and we were going out for, it was a late lunch after all our work was actually done. I was like, great, let's go to, there used to be a bar there called Mad Hatter's, which also had the brewery associated with it and all that sort of stuff. Nope. COVID casualty.
Ah, that sucks. Oh,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah. I'm going to make you drink a NEPA.
Right, we're going to do a NEPA?
We're going to go way different.
You guys a quick rinse, you want to pour those?
Yeah, sure.
So this is the Hubtown. I enjoy the name as well. It's Hoppyright Infringement.
Yeah.
So I wonder who they stole the recipe from.
This will be quite a contrast from the brown ale that we just had.
It will. And most importantly for my purposes, it's gonna fight with the coffee thing that he has.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Have like this is a hoppy beer compared to that like sweet espresso beer.
Yeah, sweet espresso, yeah, exactly.
It's got a great color to it.
Nice smell. Oh, that's good. That's awesome. Nice aroma.
Oh, I shorted you the last time, so I'm making sure.
Oh, that's actually fine. This is dangerous for me because
you can pour a little bit of that over if you want.
I'm just going to spill it.
Okay.
Oh, no.
It's because Steve shorted me this time, so I was trying to get a little
weather. You and I are about the same.
Oh, that's really good. Super citrusy on the nose.
Yeah, it's got a great aroma on it.
And it's a great name, Hoppyright Infringement.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Ooh, that's smooth.
Yeah.
That's juicy and smooth.
Yeah. This is... You guys were making fun of me a while back because all NEPAs taste the same. Yeah. They taste like this, and they taste good.
But at the same time... When they all taste the same, I want something different every once in a while.
Well, every now and then, yeah. But I mean, you don't drink a NEPA every day.
There's a reason why NEPAs have their place on the shelves of liquor stores now. It's part of the repertoire.
They are best when in a mix pack.
Mm-hmm.
With a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
If you could do a Christmas advent calendar where every fourth day was a NEPA, that'd be perfect.
A citrusy Christmas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. The IPA advent calendar is the one that I want.
Yeah. Maybe we should talk with the crew and Airdream and make one. Can always do that.
Yeah.
These possibilities.
That'd be an awesome collab.
Yeah, just... that would be interesting.
Four breweries.
Mm-hmm.
24 days.
24 days. Six beers
six per beers each.
Yeah, per brewery. Hmm.
All right, any of our listeners, you're not allowed to steal this idea.
to our dozens of listeners, you're not allowed.
Well, it's funny because I think Atlas and 940 did do a collab for one, so they did 12 and 12, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't have to be solely. Anyway.
We'll, yeah, it could be whatever.
These are business discussions that we should have at a business meeting, not on the podcast. This is a fantastic beer. Probably a good beer to end on.
Yes.
If anybody else was at the Edmonton show and tasted something that they want to let us know about, if they enjoyed any of our beers and would like to tell us about it, that'd be great too. But how would they let us know, Rob?
I don't know.
How would they let us know, Steve?
Well, they could go to our website, solutionsbrewing.com, where there's a lovely little form that pops up that says, send us an email or whatever. Trying to keep it together, guys.
We're so close.
Which sends an email to our actual email address, noproblems@solutionsbrewing.com. Or you can hit us up on our socials at Solutions Brewing Co. on Facebook and Instagram.
Yo, man, we need to do a thing where we'll just record this and then I can just add it. When I edit it, just like add it in.
I don't know. I feel like it's funnier when we throw it to somebody and they pull some shit like that.
Yeah. No, if you just have the robotic voice, like, you know, it's like take whatever. And it's just someone's exhaust and they did that and you put it at the end of every episode. Just like that. Fine. Okay. Solutionsbrewing.com. No problems at solutionsbrewing.com. Facebook, Instagram, at Solution Brewing Co. Okay, done. We're done.
You do the one like the computer voice. Go to Solutions Brewing.
I'm going to say there's enough AI voices now, like for reading stuff. We can just like give them a script.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We're going to cut this off before it goes off the rails anymore.
Take care, everybody. Thanks.